Beautiful, isn't it? Go. Praise God. I know, we can all feel it, can't we? We can all feel it. And it's just, let's be faithful in this season. Let's be faithful. Yeah. Okay. Now, I printed these out. I think they're backwards. Hang on a minute. Oh, they're upside down and backwards. Heck. Hang on. Give me a moment. I just need my phone to get my message on there so I can check where the pages go. Anyone got another word? Come on, yes, please. That will give me a moment.
I just wanted to share a testimony. Oh, okay. Just to share a testimony. We prayed for my mother some weeks ago, who was in hospital, and she had a 40% blockage in an artery, and they were going to do a stent. And we prayed for her, and then when they did the angiogram, they said she didn't need the stent. It was only 25% blocked. So praise God, I believe that was him. He's so faithful. How are you going, Jules?
Okay, I finally found page one. I don't know where we're going, but I've got that there ready. Okay, all right. The message today, and it's been stirring in me for quite a while, and we've been talking about faith and healing and different things in Bible study. The word works. The word works. And that's what we're going to be listening to today. And I kept thinking, because I just like, oh God, I don't know if this is the right message. You know, it's just about the Bible. And then if it was like that, you know, we need to be getting back to basics. We need to be getting back to, I believe we've got there in our worship where even the team have had this opportunity to rest, as Christopher said, and to, you know, just let the worship, let the songs, those old songs have got the most beautiful words, and they're just amazing. So it's about the word today, and the word works. Now, when I've listened to Joel Osteen in the past, he always starts with this little saying. So we're going to say this together. So if you've got your Bible, hold your Bible. If you haven't, hold your heart. Because we're going to say this together, okay? It's the next screen. All right. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the word of God. I wholly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. Amen. All right. Now, I hope you believe that. He does that every week. And I thought, we need to be starting to be declaring some things, maybe every week. So the word is alive, and we're going to see that in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, where it says, For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow, and it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. This is a great scripture to begin with when we're talking about the word, to tell you what it's about. It's alive and it's powerful, and I can guarantee you that it works. It's a living force, a supernatural living force, and it's capable of making things happen in our life. Let's just have a look at the same scripture in the Amplified Version. There's lots of little words in there. For the Word of God is living and active and full of power, making it operative, energizing and effective. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as a division of the soul and spirit, which is the completeness of a person, and of both joint and marrow, the deepest parts of our nature. I love that. I think I've got more yet. Exposing and judging the very thoughts and intentions of the heart. The Word of God is living. It's living and it's a living force. And next scripture in John 6:63, Jesus said, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you are spirit and they are life." And that's what we're going to concentrate on today, the life in the Word, because it's active and this describes the potential of the Word to change us and to do whatever it is that we need it to do for our situation. And I love nothing to see people change and be transformed. And I love to see when we're in our Bibles and we're reading the Word of God, because it has power in it. And we've been concentrating on Bible study, all these about the Word and going back to the Word all the time. You see, when we speak God's Word, we're not just speaking ordinary words. We're speaking words that contain power, like little bullets that have power and force as they go forth, and they have the ability to change our lives. And the first words that God ever spoke in the Bible had power. They had creative power, because he says in Genesis, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So the Bible starts out with God saying something, and the good thing is that it came to pass what he said. And God said, "Let there be light." Here we go. Oh, seriously. Here we go. And there was light. So words contain power. Like my bottle of water has water in it, the words in the Bible have power in them. They have something in them. And we all know, don't we, that if people say right words to us, good words, it can do wonderful things on the inside of us. But if they say wrong words to us, it can be crushing and it can sometimes start a lifetime full of devastation. So words do have power. And sadly, children are often a product of words. We've often been that ourselves, because we were all children once. But words heal us or curse us. And so we need to be careful what we're saying. It's good, because at Bible study now we're picking each other up on words that we shouldn't saying, like, you know, "My foot's killing me." Well, we pulled that one up and said, "No, it's not." And we prayed for that. Because he's given us his word and he wants us to believe the word, to meditate on the word and to speak the word of God. There can be nothing more important to God than learning how to speak the word out loud, out of our own mouth, because angels hearken to the word of God. We talked a bit about that last week with Paul. The angels don't listen to our complaining or your complaining. They're not moved by our grumbling, but they are moved and they're actioned on behalf of the word when they hear the word of God. And the word of God is the sword of the spirit, as we read. It's a weapon and it comes against forces of darkness. I love this scripture in Jeremiah 23, and it says, "Let him who has my word speak my word faithfully." So we need to be faithful when we're speaking the word of God. Let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. God expects us to speak his word faithfully. How many of us take the time to speak out or confess God's word out loud? How many of us do that? I mean, I'm guilty of that myself, of not doing it enough. Well, today we're going to learn something new, and we're going to determine in our hearts that you're going to be a word person, okay? You determine that in your heart. In Romans 4:17, we read, as the scriptures say, I've made you a father of many nations. This is Abraham. This is true before God, the one that Abraham believed. And this is the bit. The God who gives life to the dead and speaks of things that don't yet exist as if they are real. In other words, God speaks of non-existent things as if they already existed. But what we do too many times is we will talk about a situation and we say it's never going to change. But we need to speak things that are not as though they are. I always used to get confused with that, but when I read that verse there, I thought, yep, dead things, not dead people, but dead things can come alive. And they mightn't exist yet, but we can speak them into existence because God's word is active and powerful. We need to speak things in advance, like they're going to change in the future. Speak life into dead situation, because God's promises and his power are greater than any circumstances. In Isaiah 55:11, we read, so my word, be which goes out of my mouth, it will not return to me void, which is useless or without result, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. So God has a purpose for every word that we speak, and it won't come back void when we use his words. Okay. Yep. This is going to be bad. So God is saying, when my word is spoken, something's going to happen. And we need to have that faith and that expectation that it will. And if I hope more than anything today that you learn the value of speaking God's word more than you ever have. In Psalm 107:20, he sent his word and he healed them. And he delivered them from their destruction. And when we use our faith that God's given us, and the Bible says, by the way, that it's impossible to please God without faith. So we have to have faith. And when we speak the word of God, it is not us, but it's the word of God that people will be healed physically, emotionally, mentally, financially, any way that they need healing. And I believe that. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to someone who had a word, and a word for me and word for some other things. And as I sat there and listened, and she said to me, the Lord said that you have to go and buy a lot of handkerchiefs. Again, that might sound silly. At that moment when she said that, the anointing of God touched my head and it dripped right down my body. And I began to cry and shake, and I knew that was a word from God. And so this morning I went out and I tried 3 or 4 shops this morning, and I finally found some handkerchiefs. And I read, I don't think I've got it up there, but in Acts chapter 19, I want to read you about a handkerchief. And I believe that God is going to do greater things. I mean, once upon a time I would have went, well, that's weird, and not having that. But God's word says it, so I've changed. Okay, so it says here in Acts 19:11 that God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. And when the handkerchiefs or the aprons that had merely touched his skin were placed on sick people, they were healed of their diseases and evil spirits were expelled. That's what the power of the word of God can do. That's what it can do. And today I've got a few handkerchiefs here. And I believe that if you want a handkerchief, that we can send forth the word. I'm going to anoint it with oil. And if there's someone that is on your heart to give that to, we're going to believe that as that goes out, that they're going to be healed and delivered. Amen. And so I knew that was a word from God. Because not everybody will come to church, but we can go out there, can't we? Just like with this Jamie that's in hospital. So God is saying, when my word is spoken, something is going to happen. Now, I can put my faith out, which I do, but I want to talk also about being a better receiver. I want us to come up higher in how we receive the word, how we appreciate the word, and how we respect the word of God. I mean, when you're in Bishop T.D. Jakes's church, you stand for the reading of the word. You know, I don't want us to just come to church to be putting our time in, but come expecting that when we hear the word of God, that something will be released in your life. Expect it. Something good is going to happen in me. I'm going to be changed, and my circumstances are going to be changed. Lean in, be attentive, and believe that the word of God is the most awesome thing that you could ever hear in your life. And then let's decide with our mouth that our mouth is his mouth, and that the words that go forth out of my mouth will have the same effect that is written in Isaiah, that it will not come back void. And let's not put one another down. Cheryl gave us a word about that a couple of weeks ago. But let's raise one another up when we speak about each other. Do you know that your faith can even draw the best out of me when you lean in? So come and put a demand on me so that I'm going to rise up and use my gift by releasing your faith. Because when you look hungry and when you're responsive, it does something in me too. And then say, God, I'm expecting something today. Your word is powerful. Speak to me, God. Speak to me through the preaching. Speak to me through the worship. And then sit here ready. I used to go to Hillsong Conference for 20-odd years, and there was someone that I often went with, and they go, oh, can't stand that preacher. Oh, can't stand that preacher. And I'm thinking, well, you're not going to get anything out of the message. And quite often that preacher might speak the best thing I'd ever heard at the conference. But if we have that attitude, we will not hear from God. I couldn't stand sitting around it after a while, because it's like just negative, negative. Because, and you know, if you've got a problem with someone, you know, that preaches, well, you just forget that, because that's who God probably wants to speak to you through. But I know we don't have a problem with anyone. So when God's word is spoken, it produces an effect and something happens. Okay. It convicts. We know that. I think in Hebrews it tells us that. It convicts. It convinces. It encourages. It saves. You know what? Even if you're in here and you don't get all this stuff, the atmosphere of sitting under God's word, because we all carry the anointing and the presence of God is here, it can do things. There's light in here. There's no darkness in here. And it's just the blessed place to sit and to be. So just let it come in and let it wash over us, even if you don't understand things, and I'm pretty sure we all do here. But sometimes when someone's new, they mightn't get it all, but God's still doing something in them. And I can't say it any better than God's word is powerful and alive. But our words matter, and we should never say things like, oh, my husband's never going to change. My kids, they're just never going to change. And sometimes if someone doesn't change, it's quite often because they don't want to. And there's a saying I really detested it. You know, when people say a leopard never changes its spots. I used to deep down cringe at that, because at that time when I'd hear it, I was believing for the biggest miracle in my life. And when someone would say that, I'm thinking, no, I'm just rebuking that thought. I'm not, because there is nothing that God can't do in someone's life if they will let God in. So I don't believe those sayings. Be careful what we say. The word of God can change anyone, and Christopher, you alluded to that, and it can do anything if we would just believe it. Speak life. Speak life over these people. Speak life. Maybe not to their face if they're negative. We can't be doing, you know, witchcraft and telling them, you know, praying things against their will. But pray prayers. Pray the word over God over them. Speak life into them. wives with unsaved husbands and parents with unsaved children, and we've all got someone in here we know. When you pray, thank God in advance. Thank God for the future that they will be the man or the woman of God that God has called them and created them to be. Amen. Thank God, even when you can't see it, especially when you can't see it. And, you know, Paul last week, he talked about we need to be praying third heaven prayers. He didn't quite define that, but it's like let's just lift our prayer life. Let's use the Holy Spirit. That's what he's there for, to help us to know what to pray. And he puts things in our heart, and we can then lift that person or that thing up and pray that when we speak the scriptures, it has more power. You know, you can read all the Christian books you like, it, and they're good. There's some good ones out there, you know, self-help books. And I love a good testimony. But it's our faith and the Word of God that activates God to move. So while those things aren't bad, don't forsake reading the Bible over the books, okay? Because I don't read a lot of books because I don't have a lot of time and I know where my time needs to be. But I do enjoy a good book that's going to encourage me when, you know, especially when it's someone's testimony and there's scriptures and there's things that can help me. So I'm certainly not against books, but I know it's the Word of God that activates and transforms us from the inside out. And we need to stick with the Word in hard times. That's the time when we want to give up. And hold fast, the Bible says, to our confession of faith. When things look like they're never going to change, that's especially when we need to hold on fast to our confession of faith. You know, your miracle might just be around the corner, and the devil would want nothing more than to just stop you right now and convince you that it's not going to happen. But, you know, I think of Abraham when he was sacrificing his son Isaac. You know, just around the corner was the sacrificial lamb. Just around the corner. When things looked worse that they were going to actually happen, the lamb was just around the corner. And from experience, I find just before breakthrough, all hell breaks loose. So don't give up. Don't give up. Keep walking. Keep speaking. Every time you say in your word, maybe like, God, sorry, here we go. You might say, God, you say in your word that you will meet all of my needs according to your riches and glory. That might be one of your confessions. And that's a good one. Beautiful. Something happens in your finances because you're declaring the word of God over your situation. You mightn't see it, but something's happening. Now, you might say this on Monday and remind God, which I've done in the middle of the night when I've been worried about finances. I'm like, God, I tithe and I'm a giver. And your word promises that you will meet all of my needs. So I'll be saying that. Now, I want you to use your imagination for a sec. Let's say that the angel, someone's ringing, that the angel is released with your financial answer. And then on Tuesday, you have lunch with your depressed, miserable friend who's been that way for 20 years and has no intention of changing. And in the process of talking about your problems again and again and again, you then say, yeah, we're broke. I don't see how we're ever going to get through this one. Can't afford this, can't afford that. The angel's going to go, nope, not going there. Going back, I'm going back. And I wonder if that's how it works. You know, I wonder. And then on Wednesday, you might pick up your devotions and the word for today and, oh, yes, God, that's right, you're going to meet all my needs according to your riches and glory. No, we must be consistent and hold fast to our confession of faith and be firm in what we believe. Amen? Okay. When I was believing for a miracle, I can tell you that I never wavered from my faith. My confession was firm, and I was very careful with the words that I spoke out of my mouth, even though I saw the exact opposite to what I was believing for. It just never looked like it was possible. And God spoke to me very clearly about the importance of my words and the people that I shared with. because people can put a downer on you. Don't you know that? You might be up and they're like, oh, no, that's never going to happen. But I have seen miracles in my life and they've changed my life because I understand how this works. The word works. The word works. Have we been missing something? Have you been missing something? And are you wondering, what is it I've got to do to get a breakthrough? Are we praying bold prayers, third heaven prayers? In Isaiah 57, I haven't got it up there, but it tells us that I create the fruit of the lips. God said, I create, which means to fashion, to form and to mould, just like a potter. So God is saying, I listen to what you say, and I create and I form and I fashion the fruit of your lips. So what is it that you're not getting breakthrough in, that you're not speaking God's word over? So how do you get God to work in your life? How do you activate his miracle power? Because God said, I have linked my creative miraculous power into the words that you speak into your life. I create what you keep speaking. I form and I fashion and I mold whatever you constantly, consistently pray for, what you confess and what you praise for. You see, man has the power to speak, to talk and confess. And man is God's only creation that he made that can talk. Just like God spoke the world into existence. And when you find something in the scriptures and you believe it in your heart and you begin to speak it, no matter what you see in the natural, you believe what it says, that God is greater. And the Bible also says, let God be true and every man a liar. So his word is truth. His word is truth. He does not lie. And you know, God took away the speech from the serpent back in the book of Genesis. When Satan first came in and he used the body of a serpent, because back then serpents could walk and talk. We did discuss that before. They can't now, but they did then. God cursed it and he defeated it. He took the legs off it and it crawled on its belly. And then he took the power away for it to speak. He took the power of the devil away to speak. The devil can't speak to you anymore. If a demon is going to talk, it'll talk through somebody. And you know what? They have no legal right to say anything except the access that you give him that when he speaks into your mind. Because who knows, our thoughts are rattled with thoughts of the enemy at times. Oh, you're not good enough. You're never going to do that. You're no good. Whatever it is, he can only put those thoughts in there, or they can only stay there if we give them access to stay there. The devil has no rights anymore. And you know what? You don't have to listen to it. You don't have to listen to it. God took speech away from that servant, but he has not taken speech away from us. So you have to take those thoughts captive. Take them captive. I always think of thoughts that go in my head when I'm worried or anxious or something, and I'm like, nope, that's enough. And I picture myself grabbing those words and throwing them out. And then I speak the opposite. I speak what the Spirit tells me or what the Word says over that situation. Take those thoughts and get them out. And recognise who's put them in there. If it doesn't line up with the word of God, then it's not from God. If it tells you you're stupid, it's not a word of God, okay? Not at all. You might have done a silly thing, but you're not stupid, okay? That's how I separate things. Someone did this, but they're still a child of God. They've done something wrong. They're not that, okay? An alcoholic, they're a child of God that's had a problem with alcohol. A drug addict, they're a person of God, but they've had a problem. And I think if we can separate that and speak life into them, I think they can be set free. Because so often there's labels stick on us because of the words someone's spoken over us. Hebrews 13:15 says, therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. I've learned a secret. I've learned that the fruit of my lips is what God uses to form, to fashion and create my future. And they are words that I praise him with. Praise is the fruit of my lips. And if I will continually praise and turn to God for what he's doing, he will continue to work that way in my life. Words are so powerful. You know, I can just say, God, I praise you that my steps are ordered by you. God, I praise you that you're leading me and you're guiding me. In Joel 3:10, it says, let the weak say I'm strong. You might be having a bad day or a bad season and you're just feeling really weak. Get up. You know, you can sit in your chair and go, I'm strong. It probably won't work. Get up. No, let the weak say I'm strong and declare that over yourself. Declare it. The Bible tells us that we're to renew our minds, make new, get new thoughts, and the only way to do that is to get the word in us. You know, one of my favourite scriptures is Philippians 4, 6 to 9. I didn't put it up there. Upside down. And I have said this, and we had a Bible study a couple of weeks ago, and I just love it. Here it is. Philippians 4:6. This just covers everything. Like, it can just put any situation here. It says, don't worry about anything. What's anything? Anything. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray. We've been told to take it to the Lord in prayer. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he's done. And then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can even understand. And his peace will guard your heart and your mind as you live in Christ. And then finally, dear brothers and sisters, fix your thoughts. Change your thinking on what is true and honourable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise, and keep putting into practice all that you've learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, and then God's peace will be with you. There's some doing for us in here. There's a word there, and you can read the word, but when you declare it over yourself and when you're a doer of the word, not just hearing it, but you know, and we discussed this too at Bible study, it just seems too simple, doesn't it? It just seems that if I could keep quoting that I'd actually get some peace and that worry would go. But it's true. And, you know, sometimes you'll be talking to someone and I'll go, yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. But God does. And his word is true because, people, the word works. The word works. So last slide. It works for those who work it. That's it. Read it, study it, live it, love it, and in it you will find a verse for every occasion. Hide them in your heart. Hide them in your heart. I think I missed a few pages, but I think I got across what I wanted to say today. Must have been God. Must have been God. You know, let his word go forth. Let his word go forth. And while we're going to have another three songs, if you feel, if God's prompting you to come and get a hanky, and I would be honoured to anoint it with oil and pray for it, because God gave me that word, and so I'm not going to sit on it. I'm going to go forth with what he's said to do. And thank you to that person who was faithful to tell me that word. And then if you want prayer for anything, I'll stand with you and we can declare together the word of God over your life. Amen.